2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah help.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Welcome on into KSL's Unrivaled. It's another week. It is Monday. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback to my right, as we watch two quarterbacks in the NFL dueling, although I don't think it's much of a duel as Tom Brady has just taken the Pats down for another score.
Once a dud, more than a duel.
So, Pats are up 24-0 already with 9 minutes left in the second quarter. So, this one's not close between the Pats and the Jets in the AFC East, this little battle you got here. So, in the meantime, we got to start the show off here as we always do, and that is talking about the things that were the most crazy from over the weekend, the things that were catching our eye the most. Scott was at the Utah game, of course, calling that one. I was down at the BYU game versus Boise State. Both wins for the two biggest programs here in the state. Utah State also getting on track. We're going to start things off discussing Utah and that future that they have, a date with the Rose Bowl possibly, maybe even crazily enough with the college football playoff. Let's talk about it here on the 705 Cut.
The Cut at 705. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
So, Scott, you were up there on the hill. I watched the entirety of that Utah-Arizona State game, a Pac-12 South duel that everybody was really anticipating. Two teams ranked in the teens, both 5-1 going in. Utah dominated from front to back on this one on the offensive side of things, which they didn't need much. But certainly the defense was at its absolute most. I mean, as soon as you think that Utah's defense can't do more the next game, they turned yet another corner on defense and held Arizona State to just ridiculous numbers, 136 yards of total offense, 136 yards of total offense, 25 yards passing
I think this, Alex, actually, this game happened maybe even last year, maybe 2 years ago, I think Utah would have lost this game. It's one of those games where the offense was kind of having
its
issues.
A little bit stagnant, yeah.
And it wasn't stagnant. They moved the ball just fine, but they weren't finishing drives.
Right.
They weren't taking care of the football. Utah's played in two wet games already this year, and they handled them perfectly. This is the biggest game of your season, and one you absolutely have to win if you're really serious about going to the playoffs or winning the Pac-12 or getting a chance to play for the championship and go to the Rose Bowl. You have to have this game. And I will tell you, this defensive performance against a good team, I'm not convinced about Jaden Daniels yet, but
certainly can't be now.
You know, Benjamin's good.
Really
Ayuk, the receiver's really good. The other receivers are good. I mean, this isn't a bad team at all. Well coached. And I'm telling you, the performance by the defense was like something I have not seen from Utah ever.
Well,
since they've been in the Pac-12.
Well, and even Kyle Whittingham, the guy who's short on a lot of compliments, you know, in the public, because you don't want to get your guys too excited about it, he had to say this about his defense.
Defense played outstanding, like I said. The numbers were as good as I can ever remember as far as just from a statistical standpoint. I thought the plan was very good going in. But again, the plan's only as good as the players that are executing it, and the players did an outstanding job.
The best defensive effort that he's in his memory, right, of this team. And again,
and he's not wrong.
Right.
I mean, I watched every play, and I'm telling you, it was something special. And what I keep seeing, Alex, is I see this defensive team, they keep unfolding more and more and more, and it makes it so hard for an offense to handle when you do so many different things and you give so many different looks. Jalen Johnson at cornerback literally can shut down a big-time receiver. He's that good. And the challenge with USC is they had multiple big-time receivers. But,
right.
But they played USC all wrong when they played them, and they know that now. But I just go, wow, they're doing that this week? They're doing that this week? They're just add. And they dialed into what they had to do against Jalen.
Jaden Daniels, yeah.
You know, this happened in because you have Jalen Johnson.
Right.
You have Julian Blackman.
You have JT Daniels, who is the starting quarterback for
USC.
There's
just so many J's going on. Yeah. And it happened to Bill, actually, in the call. Jaden Daniels was just impressive what they did to a young freshman quarterback.
Well, so I was impressed by the whole thing. And yet, at the end of everything, we got into the office today, and Scott, the biggest thing was, man, this is, and we'll talk a little bit about it more later, but the reality is that there is more work to be done. Obviously, if you want to be a Pac-12 champion, you've got to walk the walk, and that is win out, because that's the only thing that Utah can do to be able to get there is they got to win out. But they also have to wait for USC to make a slip up, which is not the position you want to be in. And again, we'll talk about it in a little bit, but when it comes down to it, let's talk a little bit about where Tyler Huntley was. He finally got that interception that you were waiting for, and I kept watching all game because he was getting close. I mean, he just kept getting closer and closer to getting that pick, and then it finally happened. But this is a guy who's not 100%. At what point
in his game, he has to be that way.
And that's what I'm saying.
He throws his best on the move, and for him to have to stand in the pocket and just make throws – it's not what he's completely comfortable with.
So what is it?
He's obviously injured his knee.
Right.
Yeah, and my speculation, again, I'm not a doctor.
No, but now, you'll never hear anything from
Tom Hackett on the sideline during the game. He might have considered himself a doctor.
Right,
I don't know.
Sure.
It's kinda...
It looks like he's favoring the meniscus.
This must be a knee injury. And anyways, that's concerning. It's concerning because look, Utah has to beat Washington at Washington in 2 weeks, and they have to have Tyler Huntley at full strength. They just have to, or they're not gonna win that game. They need him to be able to move. They don't need him to run. It's not the running part. It's that it's avoiding guys in the pocket and then throwing on the run, and that's what he's been so good at. But you could just see the accuracy of his throws was not there, and it was completely because of his injury.
Zach Moss came out of the game for a little bit. Scary moment, too, because you're thinking this could be a total blackout knockout and out for the game and concussion protocol, et cetera. But he seemed to pop right back in there, and they felt, obviously the training staff felt like, okay, he passed everything on the sideline to be able to come back in. Is this something where, you know, I mean, he was looking for that record, great. His mom was in town, great. All those things. But I mean, he's not – nothing residual from that, though, right? He said he felt pretty good after the game
He felt good when he was on the field. He knew he was okay. He just knew that they had to go through the protocol, and that was fine. But in that drive really tells you where this Utah football team is. They lose Tyler Huntley in that drive, so he goes out of the game. Then they lose Zach Moss in that same drive, and they bring in someone who hasn't played a whole lot, Drew Lisk. And they kind of are stumbling down the field. And then Tyler Huntley comes back in the game. It's fourth down and like 12. He completes a fourth down to get a first down. And then Zach Moss comes back in the game and scores a touchdown to go up 21-0 at the time. And no, it goes up 14-0 at the time. And that drive right there. That drive may be the drive of the whole entire season, because everything it was in that moment, like you're dropping your quarterback, you're dropping your running back, this is the moment in the game, and it felt like ASU might have been getting some momentum, and they fought through that, and they fought through the demon that is Arizona State, and they fought through these games that they have so often lost in Salt Lake City. I mean, it just had loss written all over it, and they found a way offensively because the defense was lights out.
Was Arizona State? Were you impressed? Like, I mean, did you think to yourself, "Oh yeah, this is the number 17 team in the country"? I was impressed. I thought their defense was pretty good.
They were great.
Defense was pretty good. I thought their offense wasn't just shut down by Utah, but it was like really they did not have. I mean, they have all these weapons, and in Eno Benjamin, you could tell how frustrated that guy was. He's the leader on that team. He's one of the older guys. He's as frustrated as anybody else. When was the last time you saw a running back pop up from his position and go over, turn to the ref and go, timeout. Right. We're calling a timeout here. And the quarterback standing there like, huh? Like, what's going on here?
He's like, that's a good idea. I'm glad you called timeout.
Because we've gotten a delay of game.
I never thought of that. And that's how it appeared. Like, there's no question. They have talent on that team, but where they're strong is the personality of their coach. They bought into keep the game close. We know we don't have all the parts. We don't have all the answers, but we'll find a way to keep it close and pull it out in the end. And that's how most of their victories have come this year, because they're just not quite there offensively. But they do have a solid defense, though.
We're going to take the break here. When we come back, more to go here on the program. We've just broke down a little bit of Utah's game. We'll come back and talk about BYU's win over Boise State. The atmosphere at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, just as electric as it was during that overtime win against USC. And boy, did BYU need to get a W over Boise State and or Utah State in these next couple of weeks for them to be able to feel good about where they're at right now in the season. More to go right here on the program. Stay right here on KSL's Unrivaled and KSL News Radio. Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Curry and Scott Mitchell here with you. The Patriots have just picked off Sam Darnold again tonight. And they're already up 24 to nothing, the Pats are, with 5 minutes left in the second quarter. So any thought of you having a nice Monday night football game where you thought, oh, this would be kind of fun?
It'll be a nice game. Sam Darnold will do something?
No. After that win over the Cowboys, Bill Belichick doing what Bill Belichick does, and that is dialing up a game plan against the Jets. He's done it for a long time. He knows how to do it.
Well, the crazy part is they just got an interception. He's over on the sideline. He has the whole defense huddled up.
And he's barking at him.
Almost like they've done something
right,
wrong.
Right, he's barking at him. And what a time. I mean, you said it too during the break. You know, the Patriots, the thing that's crazy about them is they have their best defense they've maybe had in years. It's always been about this Patriot offense, how awesome they are, how crazy they are about being able to move that football and score points. And now it's that defense. All right. Kicking things off.
Well, that's what makes it scary.
Yeah.
Is you just go, this might be the most complete team in the NFL.
They had just showed before this last defensive drive, because they've had so many turnovers and the Jets have gone three and outs on so many other things. Before this drive, and it's 24-0. Before this drive, the defense, the starters on defense, Kyle Van Noy, Dante Hightower, they had played 8 snaps apiece so far in the game. Those are the most on the team, because they're just not on the field at all when they just go three and out.
And you know how helpful that is this time of year?
Oh, my goodness.
Starting getting halfway through the season.
They don't have to do anything.
Fresh, and you can be rested. And
then the Jets start to drive just a little bit, and then they pick them off. There you go. Sam Darnold, good job, buddy. One of the things that we looked at in this game with BYU and Boise State was the play calling started to get open up. And, Scott, I want to get your thoughts. And we do this every week where – I go, look, I want to talk about these things, but I'm not going to ask you about them at length during our prep for the show. I want to get just your raw thoughts on this. And here was one of the plays that ended up being a game changer and game breaker in that third quarter. The BYU scored 3 touchdowns against Boise State to get the win. 28-25 was the final, but that 21-point third quarter was just a backbreaker for them. And this was one of those great calls.
Fourth down and 1 at the Boise State 27. Romney. With Katoa behind him, goes under center with double tight to the right. Romney takes his drop, throws on the seam to Bushman. They got him for the touchdown! What a play call on 4th and 1!
And that's what everybody thought was that's a great play call. Where's that been the rest of the year? There have been some of these things where you go.
And there's a fine line, because you go, we should be able to run the ball and get a first down.
Yes.
And you always think percentages are actually in your favor to run.
Sure.
Because, you know, in that
– later in the game, they had to try that too.
Right. On that play right there, it's an all or nothing play.
Right.
Like if they don't sell out to the run, then and they guard the there's no one else.
Right.
That's it. He's the guy. But most teams, almost all the time, will sell out to the run.
Right, and they're ready
because they know they're like, yeah, the offense, all they think is they just have to get 1 yard.
Right.
Some of the best plays you can ever get are on third and short and fourth and short are long plays.
Right.
And you have to go, look, we're professionals. We practice this every day. Now, BYU's not professional, but they're certainly
but you
capable.
You do see a lot of like fourth and one runs that break out to be 70-yard runs
a lot of times.
Because if they get past that one level,
the defense wants to get off the field.
Right.
Like Kyle Whittingham said this after the game. He goes, third down is the biggest down in all of football on defense. Third down, if you look at it from a defensive perspective, is like getting a turnover. Because we stop them. We get the ball back right now because we stop them on third down. So I love calls like this. And you go, yeah, why don't they do that all the time? And you have to, we talk about this, right? And we say BYU seems to get motivated for the big games. And the coaches, it's kind of a, you know, it's like you just kind of have to throw caution to the wind and just go all in and just be aggressive. And the mindset and where I think this program can improve is in that mindset. We have to throw. We cannot take any team lightly. We have to throw caution to the rim when to the wind when we're playing Toledo, when we're playing South Florida, when we're playing Boise State, we're playing USC, and you have to have that mindset every week.
You have this set of play calls. You had that one. You had the flea flicker to get the next touchdown. Both of these to Bushman for long plays, but Baylor Romney was the story of the night for all these people who saw what was going on with this football team throughout the rest of the year. And you couldn't help but think, man, they show up for these big games, you know, and you thought, well, of course they'll show up against Boise State because it seems like a game that is important to them, right? And they did.
You know what showed up? It's not that they showed up and it was important.
What was it?
You know what really showed up?
What was it?
This is the thing that stood out to me above anything else, Alex. Baylor Romney, redshirt freshman, walk-on, never played.
Right.
And from the minute he's in the game, he just gets it. And you can just tell he's a football player. You can tell that he's poised, but you can tell he sees what's happening on the field. And that's not something you can coach.
Were you impressed?
You either have it or you don't.
When you watched it, did you go, he kind of lucked his way into some of this? Or did you look – because you kind of dial guys up by how they look in the pocket or what their motion is or kind of that confidence. You can see a swagger there. Did you see it with him?
So I don't know that it's a swagger, a confidence. It's an understanding. I remember the first time I got in a game in college, and we were playing San Diego State in San Diego State, and I got in. I completed my first 8 passes in a row. And I guess what I was? I was a redshirt freshman. And I just remember thinking, oh, I can do this. This isn't – and some guys are just so caught up in the moment and they really struggle to kind of find a groove. And you can just see they don't really have an understanding or a confidence or just a concept of – I don't even want to call it confidence. Just like here's the play and I have to execute the play and I have to see the defense and make decisions. Baylor Romney did a better job of throwing the ball accurately, and I've said this about Zach Wilson, than Zach Wilson when he first got in.
Really?
There were plays, and I said, you've heard me say this before, there's some throws that are kind of, they're too casual, they're too flippant, they don't have a real purpose to them, and I just didn't see that from Baylor Romney. I just didn't see it. I'm not saying here's a quarterback controversy, because Zach Wilson's a real special talent and all that. But I'm telling you, he handled this extremely well for his very first game. And it just tells me this is a kid who kind of understands how to be a quarterback.
Someone's
going to jump in the portal.
What do you mean somebody's going to jump in the
portal? One of these three quarterbacks is going to jump in the portal. I can't see, they're all too young. I can't
between Baylor Romney, Jaren Hall, and Zach Wilson? Wow. BYU fans do not want to hear that.
They probably don't.
They want to hear, we got all these great quarterbacks, and any one of them could go in and maybe get a W.
And maybe they can look at it that way. Maybe they can say, okay, we've got all these guys that can play, and they go, well, we're probably all going to play because it's apparent that the quarterback gets hurt at BYU all the time. But when one guy's playing and the other two aren't, they're not going to sit there and go, I want to just sit here and, you know, unless Romney wants to play with his brother and just be at BYU. I mean, maybe that's the same thing with, you know, Jaren Hall, and that loyalty to BYU is great. And if they have that, fantastic. But man, there's so many opportunities out there for these players today to go places, and these guys can play.
I look at what BYU did in that game, and there was a feeling of relief. Even though you moved to 3-4 on the season, the alternative was a lot of people already had you signed up for 2-6. And I was one of those people where I went, like, what made you think that with a third-string quarterback you're going to be able to pull off wins against Boise State and Utah State? And things have changed. And now
it's highly
Utah
unlikely.
State's looking like it. Utah State's looking like a game that you can at least be in and make your – so be a part of that game. So be in that game. We're going to take a break here. We got news, traffic, and weather right now. When we come back, Jeremiah Jensen, KSL5 Television, is going to join us. We're going to talk about all those things, unpack some of those things that happened over the weekend. BYU goes into a bye. Utah taking on California coming up at the end of this week. And Utah State has got Air Force this week. So no rest for the weary. More to go right here.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome on in. It's KSL's unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, and joining us here in studio, Jeremiah Jensen, KSL 5 Television. Big weekend, JJ.
Everybody's happy.
Everybody, including us. It's always good to be. It's always good to be on. Radio and TV in a market where all three of the big teams.
It's so good for business.
Wins. But you know what? I'm not happy.
Why?
I'm not sad.
You can't satisfy this.
No,
guy.
I'm not.
What's
because,
the deal?
Because I'm someone who's forward thinking. I'm looking down the road, right? And I'm just looking. I'm just talking Utah here.
Okay.
You have Utah played defense lights out, unbelievable, so impressive. Offense, not too worried about it, but I'm worried about Tyler Huntley and his health because they need him to be healthy. Utah has to win out. They have to win out, and they have to hope that USC doesn't win out.
Oregon will get them.
You hope so. I'm just saying you hope so.
It'll probably be like Cal or UCLA.
But Utah
How about
still
that?
Has to go to Washington, and Washington scares me. I know they've had weird losses. I know all of that. It's still Chris Peterson. It's still Washington. It's still that bugaboo for Utah. And they can't lose. They can't lose. And they can win the rest of their games.
And still not go.
And still not go.
And still not go to the Pac-12 championship.
And it just, and I,
crazy.
And I'm just telling you, I am excited. I was so impressed with the win. But in the back of my mind, it's just there. I can't get rid of it.
Biggest thing over the weekend for you, biggest takeaway from the weekend, if there's a headline that you could yell at people, what was it?
Oh, man. I mean, there's so many. I mean, you just touched on Utah, so I'll go in a BYU direction. What a huge win for Kalani Sitake. And he had to make some hard choices. There's not a lot of people talking about exactly what those choices were. There was some reassigning going on in the staff. That's hard to do.
We had the binoculars out, right?
Yeah.
And Mitch Harper, our BYU insider for KSLSports.com, sitting next to me. And I go, what are you looking at, man? He goes, I'm looking to see who's calling the plays on defense. And it was this weird thing where on the sideline, Kalani and Elisa Tuiaki are standing next to each other, and they got the cards up in front of their face, right? They got the cards up, and they're both talking back and forth. And then Tuiaki's doing the hand signals in. Jeff Grimes is on the sidelines, and so he says that's his call. So who's making that 4th-and-1 call over the seam to Bushman? Who's making that flea flicker call? Is that Aaron Roderick or was that Jeff Grimes?
What are the reassignments?
That's what I'm asking.
That's what I want to
that's
find.
What I'm asking.
Look, nothing's official. I'm hearing things.
Who made
things.
Those calls on the trick plays?
That BYU offense on Saturday had A-Rod's fingerprints all over it. Oh, it just felt like I was watching Utah's offense of a few years ago. It just felt very familiar, but it was just a look from BYU that we haven't quite seen. And give credit to Baylor Romney for coming out in his first start.
Looked really good.
Somebody who's doing scout team for a while, and all of a sudden he had the best quarterback numbers in the state. Look, I'm not going to start any arguments, but he had the best numbers of quarterbacks in the state this weekend.
Yeah.
And obviously Huntley's was affected by the weather and the injury. Same with Jordan Love. But Baylor's playing in bad weather, too. He was good. And BYU needed that so badly.
Everybody wants to know, too.
Well, hang on. I want to get back to the reassignment.
Okay.
So is it just you think A-Rod had more of an influence in the game? And did Kalani have more of an influence?
Grimes went from the booth down to the field. Who was up in the booth?
A-Rod.
Okay. Well, hopefully someone was.
Clearly.
I wasn't there. I don't know.
It was empty. They brought around the ice cream.
Look,
changes had
to be made.
But do you think part of that maybe – so Jeff Grimes is an offensive line guy.
Sure.
And do you think that maybe his offensive line coach isn't quite communicating
Possible.
Or isn't quite ready? And maybe Jeff wanted to be closer to those offensive linemen to talk through, this is the front, this is what you're seeing, this is this play, here's what happened. You guys kind of blew it here. Do you think – I would be surprised if it was just completely taken away from now. Maybe he goes, look, passing plays, you just take care of all of it. You do all that, and you just tell me what you want on a run.
I'm certainly not an insider watching what's going on in meetings behind the scenes and everything. I'm only observing what I saw.
They don't want anybody to know.
Why would you? Yeah, you don't want to publicize that, and you keep that in house.
Sure.
But it was clear whether there was reassignments or if there was just a little bit of shuffling, something was clearly different. And you saw it in the results of the game.
Does Kalani – everybody wants to know too because his back was against the wall and then you see some of these changes. You certainly saw play call differences and you saw a different offense. And how much of that doesn't work if Baylor Romney isn't as good as he was on Saturday? I mean, the reality was is – he's way better than I think everybody thought he was. And if Jaren Hall is healthy in 2 weeks against Utah State, does he get the start?
And Zach Wilson's not far from coming back, too. So you have all these different questions now.
Scott already said it. Someone's going to the transfer portal. That's what he said.
This is what happens,
but it's
right?
A bunch of pretty good
Who's
going to want to
sit on the bench if you're playing?
Once you get a taste.
Yeah, you like.
You want to do it more, right? If I'm Baylor and I do that and I got film now.
And I go to against Boise State and I've never played in a game before and I was really impressed with him. I was impressed with his decision making, the timing of the throws, and the accuracy of the throws. And those are things you just don't see on a guy that's starting his first.
How many turnovers did BYU have?
Zero.
Right. There's hesitation and he was just smart and judicious with the football. He was. He was very, very, very clean in how he played.
The defense was better.
Yes, it was.
What was the difference this week in the defense? Was this a defense feeling like they were kind of fighting for their head coach's job a little bit?
Based on the emotion I saw from Isaiah Kaufusi after the game, that's exactly what that was. Is look, we all go through these periods of times where maybe we're not our best, and I think this team, this BYU team, just had a letdown for 2 weeks. First in Toledo, I think just you go from playing Power Five teams. All of a sudden, you're traveling two time zones, and you're playing this team that no one really heard of, and it's early in the morning, and you get embarrassed. And all of a sudden, boom, your confidence is shot. And then you got to do it again 2 weeks later after you had to think about it for a bye week. Same scenario, same thing repeats, and you're in your mind like, how did we let that happen again? And then all of a sudden, you start hearing all the stuff about Kalani. Kalani's got to go. This isn't working. BYU's got to make changes. Everybody talked about that, right? So you're a player, you love this coach, and you feel like you're personally responsible for that, that you let him down. All of a sudden, I got to buckle down, and you dig deeper. And I think that's what some of the guys on that defense did. Isaiah Kaufusi, that interception was incredible.
Got to get that guy
And that
offense.
Really set a tone, right? That was a huge play in that game. So, yeah, absolutely. I think it was just emotional. I think this team realized, hey, we beat Tennessee. We beat USC. We can beat Boise State. Let's go do this.
How long does that last, though?
That's you can't just ride on that. You're right. It's about execution. It's about consistency.
But wouldn't they be just
That's
as
part of the problem with this team, though.
Yeah.
Sorry to cut you off.
No.
You get up for Tennessee. You get up for USC. You get up for Utah and Washington. You don't necessarily always win those games, but you get up for them. If you're riding on emotion all the time, you're not going to win. You're going to have problems like you've had because it's about consistency and execution. Not about emotion.
It seems like there's something on the line, and that's what something more. And so if Liberty, if UMass were in your conference and it meant winning the conference championship, even though they're lesser appointments,
you get up
there's
for that
still something. Look, we got to win we got to win this game. Doesn't
and this
matter.
Was desperation for this team because they lose to Boise State, Utah State, San Diego State. They're not going to a bowl game.
Let me.
How embarrassing would that be?
Yeah, and you know that helps. Everybody talked about the bowl game thing.
Don't count out that Idaho State yet.
That's all about this like weird Idaho State.
Don't take the Bengals lightly.
I know. So very quickly here before we get you out, Utah State. Do they get up for that game against Utah State on November 2nd like they got up for that Boise State game?
They better, because if they don't, Utah State's going to destroy them. Utah State's a good football team, and they wax Nevada this week. Mm-hmm. Look, Nevada is – I don't know what Nevada is. They're not great.
They play basketball.
They do. But that's a basketball
school. They had a pretty decent record. It was a little bit of – they were kind of –
they beat
it.
Purdue.
Yeah.
They beat a Big
Colin
Ten team.
Colin Kaepernick went there a long time. He was good then.
They beat BYU then a long time ago. I remember that. But just to more on the Aggies, Utah State is really good. Utah State is going to be so up for that game. It's in Logan. Who knows what the weather's going to be like. Look – that game is going to be really tough for BYU to go up and get. They have to execute well, and they have to take care of the football. That's been their recipe for success. If they don't, Utah State's going to give them a beating.
We're going to take the break here. Jeremiah, tonight on Sports Beat, Monday Night Football games.
Monday Night Football. Donovan Mitchell, what are his thoughts about the season opener for the Utah Jazz on Wednesday?
We're going to have
do they play this Wednesday?
Can you believe all the stuff that's
it's
going on
real,
right now?
Though, right? They're gonna, it's
it
actual.
Starts Wednesday.
We've got our Jazz special
Jazz.
Tomorrow. Jeremiah, are you going to join us tomorrow for at least a segment, talk about Jazz and preview the season a little bit? Boy, we're excited. The preseason, way out of sight and out of mind. Take the break here. JJ, thanks for hanging out, man.
Got it.
Taking the break, more to go. KSL's Unrivaled continues on KSL News Radio. Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. You can listen on the podcast by downloading wherever you get your podcasts, KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell over here to my right, NFL quarterback, former Utah quarterback. Watched the game this weekend, of course, on the call against Arizona State. And a sigh of relief for Utah fans who that game was on the schedule as something looming where you had lost two in a row to the Sun Devils and they were ranked. And they were 5-1.
It was a game that's concerning to all Utah fans just because of past history.
Relax, Utah fans.
Even last year history.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, asking some of the players after the game, they go, we remember last year. This was a bit of retribution on our part.
When I saw Tyler Huntley come out of the game with an injury, even albeit for a brief moment.
Right.
Same thing with Zach Moss. You're kind of going, are we kidding right now?
We're going to do this again?
And even if Utah wins this game, you still – I mean, the season –
you have lost the war.
The season looks like it's not even worth playing out the rest of it without Tyler Huntley and Zach Moss.
Yeah.
And you do it, but it doesn't feel like that that championship team that you think you had at Utah. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of those things that really, really caught our attention this weekend. And it's that time of night where we get to crown people our victors, the winners of the weekend, winners of the day, whoever it might be. It is our unrivaled MVP, so let's roll them out right here.
The unrivaled MVP. Scott and Alex crowned tonight's most valuable player.
Yeah, according to Alex.
Uh-huh.
According to Scott. Most valuable player.
All right, so Scott, what do you have? MVPs tonight, let's go.
You know, I have Reverend Herm. So Herm Edwards, the coach at ASU, and here's why. We got to know him a little bit at the Pac-12 Media Day, and we felt like this is a genuine guy.
Yeah.
What did he say? I want to be remembered as a good father.
Yeah.
He's a guy that's like, it's really important to me to live by principle and to be a good person and to contribute back to society above anything else. So as I'm watching the game unfold at the University of Utah and watching how these Arizona State players were very dirty in a lot of situations.
Yeah.
Even how they tackled Tyler Huntley.
It got chippy.
There was a kickoff where the frontline guys, instead of retreating at the kick, went straight across the line and went headhunting on several of the Utah kickoff guys. And you just go, that's a cheap shot. And so the Utah players were seeing this happening and the game got very chippy. And I was sitting there going, this is Herm Edwards. This is what he's all about. It's like this dirty play, this cheap play, all of this stuff. And I was disappointed because I felt like Reverend Herm had gone to the dark side. After the game, he, of course, spoke briefly with Coach Whittingham. When we interviewed Coach Whittingham after the game, he said, look, Herm actually apologized to me. He said, that's not who we are. It's not what we coach. It's not what we're all about. And you think about the very first thing he says – at the end of a game is I need to apologize to you. And that's not unacceptable. It's not unacceptable for me. And he's not my MVP because he lost and because Utah won, but because he's a stand-up guy. And he I was glad to hear it. It restored my faith in Reverend Herm because he was true to the person he is, and it is just extremely impressive to me that that's how he handled the situation.
Mine also is I've always liked Herm Edwards, and you think about the things like you play to win the game, right? You think right. about those things that he did on TV, and yep. and fine. But when we met him at Pac-12 Media Day, he was as genuine and as warm with us as anybody was that entire day.
Yep.
He wanted to spend 30 minutes with us, right? His media guy's pulling him off of our table.
Yes.
But what did he want to do? He wanted to tell Barry Sanders stories with you, you know, because right. you guys can yep. swap those. And he wanted to talk about some of these just like things that happen in the NFL versus things that happen in college, recruiting kids these days, all this stuff. But you could tell because he's looking right at you, and he wants answers from you just like you want answers from him. And I always love talking to Herm Edwards. And when I saw him on the sidelines, and you know they're losing, and you could see like he's frustrated, and I thought, oh, that's a good guy right there, though. So I'm glad to hear that story.
Yeah, me too.
That's a tough one. Hey, mine also has to do with a coach, and you and I don't even like this coach necessarily that much, but Dabo Swinney, Clemson's head coach. During their game, during their blowout win over Louisville this weekend, and it was a slow go actually for Clemson for a minute. Your guy Trevor Allen doesn't, or what is his name?
Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Allen works with us at KSL Sports.
Yeah.
Also, your guy.
Does not look like Trevor.
Does
Lawrence.
Does not look like Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. The long flowing hair. You know what we need to do? Photoshop Trevor Lawrence's hair on Trevor Allen's head. Jeremy, let's get on it. No, but Trevor Lawrence didn't look great, and they had kind of a slow start to the game. And during a punt return, Andrew Booth, who's on Clemson's team – this is the defending national championship team, by the way, and they're undefeated. And they're kind of falling on hard times in terms of, like, they're not in the good graces of media across the country. They're kind of falling in the AP poll because they're not really showing that they're a national championship-caliber right. team yet, even though they're undefeated.
And played anyone.
Right, and they're in the
Seriously,
ACC.
Haven't played anyone.
Andrew Booth, a defensive back who was on kick coverage, or on kick return, on punt return, is going down, and he's, you know, blocking with his outside gunner, and he throws him to the ground, and this is always my favorite, the throwing of the punch at the guy wearing the helmet. He starts punching him. He starts punching the Louisville
defender. Because it's going to be real effective.
Yeah. Well, it's just – so immediately gets a flag.
Do you know what's dumber than that?
What?
The guy that takes his helmet off in the fight.
Yes. So the guy – yes. So Andrew Booth throws punches and gets ejected. People asked him immediately today during his press briefing, you know, about, you know, the whole situation.
Ask Dabo.
They asked Dabo about Andrew Booth's situation. Are you going to discipline him anymore? You know, after that, because he got kicked out of the game, he said, well, the team flew back, but he rode on the bus. With the team managers.
Oh.
Because, you know, the support team is on. There's the van. There's a couple of
there's
of
a bus that goes and takes everything.
Right.
Yeah.
He rode back on the bus. And he was told people that went with him, don't talk to him.
Oh.
He said, that's where it started. The rest of it, we're going to handle in-house here. So don't ask me any more questions about it. So Dabo Swinney made his player ride the bus home from Louisville instead of flying on the team plane with everybody else. You know what that means? You're kind of not on the team right now. You're in the doghouse. You're not a member of the team. And you know what? You're not even good enough to talk with the manager.
At least he let him on the
bus.
Yeah,
you're basically
a
hitchhiker. You're basically a hitchhiker.
Wow.
So that's what he did. Dabo Swinney. That's my MVP. 24-0 still in the Monday Night Football game. We're going to come back. More to go. Second hour of KSL's Unrivaled on a Monday, unpacking the weekend. Stay with us.
KSL's Unrivaled. The teams you live for. The sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome on in. It's KSL's Unrivaled. We just watched Sam Darnold throw his third pick of the night. Doing great. Patriots take over at about midfield. Then they're already up 24-0 here. But it's the third quarter's underway, and the beatdown has also been underway for quite some time. So there's your Monday Night Football update. In the meantime, we got to get to this important part of our show. It's the 8 o'clock hour, and we had debate on this one about where we were going to start this hour. We have so much to talk about, Utah, BYU, but we talked about a lot of it. We had the NFL from this week and all sorts of things, but we really, really love scandals. We really, really love rumors, and we love to talk about where some of these things
We like reality TV, basically.
Yes. It's essentially, we're going to break down The Bachelor and Bachelorette. No. We're going to talk about some of the rumor mills of coaching. It's all to start off the 805 cut right here.
The cut at 805. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
All right, this hour of the cut brought to you by SprinterUtah.com. For more information, text Sprinter to 57500. Got the rumor mill on the quarterbacks or on the coaching carousel that's always interesting is the quarterback, and this is something you talked about on your podcast today, Helmets Off.
Yes.
You can download the podcast wherever podcasts are found. There you go. A little plug. It's contractually obligated to bring that up once a show. So there you go.
Thank you. It's good. I like doing it.
Well, but here's the deal. This one came up because today, Urban Meyer started to talk about some of the coaching. Now that he's a Fox guy, he started to talk about some of the coaching across, you know, the landscape of college football. And obviously, after a weekend like Michigan had, the Michigan faithful start to wonder what's going on with Jim Harbaugh. And even a guy who they thought was going to be the absolute, the end all on best coaches ever, has been 0-for against
Ohio State,
and like not even close.
You know, you could go.
And he's not winning.
You could go for the Big Ten, and beat Ohio State,
and you'd still be okay.
You'd be a lifetime coach.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But Michigan's had fallen on some hard times, even with the khakis and the glasses in charge,
and the cleats.
And so that conversation started to happen with Colin Cowherd on Fox with Urban Meyer, and then so what ended up happening was this conversation sort of started to happen about the Cowboys. Head coaching job.
That's the one. You know, that's the New York Yankees. That's the Dallas Cowboys. That's the one. Great city. You got Dak Prescott. You got Zeke Elliott. You got loaded team. To me, that's the one job in professional football. You kind of say, I got to go do that.
Had you been called by the Cowboys?
I have not.
But if you would have been, you'd have spent a couple days with it.
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. That one, yes.
On that one, yes.
He's not going to tell Cowherd that he got called by the Cowboys.
He was setting up a had you been called by the Cowboys, would you have considered it? Had you been called by the Cowboys? He said, no, I haven't been called.
He asked him, have you been called by them? And I'm just telling you, he would never tell him.
Okay,
that.
So with that being said, he put that out there. Urban Meyer at the Dallas Cowboys
is the biggest train wreck in the
world. What are you talking about?
World.
This guy has been successful everywhere he's gone.
In college. Look, his game, his mindset, it doesn't.
Pete Carroll, it translated?
Pete Carroll is not a tyrant. It's not about a college coach going to the pros. Okay? Guys,
what's it about then?
And if you're, okay, Bill Belichick, a tyrant. Okay? He has a way. He's a tough coach. He is tough to play for, but he got a quarterback who was young, who has been probably the greatest player ever to play in the NFL, and he got to mold him young. So Tom Brady,
your contradiction in terms is crazy.
Listen, hear this out. Tom Brady doesn't know any better. He knows it like it is from Bill Belichick. So who's the guy that is the temperature for the New England Patriots? It's Tom Brady. Tom Brady says Tom Brady sets the trend for everything. Belichick, he's like, I know people that played for him. It's not a fun place to play.
I get it.
Okay. Pete Carroll, completely different. Pete Carroll's a California guy. He's a surfer dude. He's like, we will never talk bad to the millennials.
Yeah,
I'm just telling you.
What's funny is you just described two Super Bowl winning coaches.
I get it.
Why? So both of those work, and Urban Meyer can't make it work?
The reason it doesn't work with Urban Meyer is because Urban Meyer's tyrant style isn't supported by the back end scouting department, the philosophy behind the Cowboys. The Patriots do it different than everyone. They go, we're not overspending for free agents at all. The Cowboys are like, I'm Jerry Jones. I'm spending. I'm overspending.
Right.
I'm buying the next shiny object. And the Cowboys, since Gil Brandt left and that great scouting program, they are not. When was the last time the Cowboys really had a chance to go to the Super Bowl? In the 90s? And you think Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson, their egos could not stand to be together?
Now, hold on a minute.
Urban Meyer's 10 times the ego of Jimmy Johnson.
Here's my favorite.
It will not work.
Of the things that Urban Meyer said, though, because you always say that Urban Meyer hates Jim Harbaugh. It's like, hates.
With a passion.
With a passion. And you would. Look, it's Michigan versus Ohio State. Yeah. There's no love lost there between those two guys. Urban Meyer has the luxury now of being the media guy and just responding to questions. So the question was asked about the expectations that come with being that Michigan head coach.
You know, if it does get nasty, which I don't think it's nasty right now, but you lose at Penn State, you lose again to Ohio State, and I think you can't ignore it then. You know, and once again, I very gratefully have not been in that scenario, but I don't know how. Like right now, zero conversation.
Oh, he's like, that's
I
the
never
best.
Lost to Michigan. I don't know what's going to happen to Jim Harbaugh. I've never experienced that in my entire time.
That is
ever.
That is hilarious. That whole idea of, you know, this idea of, you know, I don't know what it's like to be in that situation. So I can't really put my I can't wrap my head around this
it's
scenario.
It's all speculation on my part.
You said it too. This is such a USC like the you know the
comment.
Snobby USC
yes.
fan.
Yes.
Oh, it would be – I've never had to deal with something like this. Losing a football game? Oh. Like, just this idea
and
of –
And if you notice, Urban Meyer will never say Michigan.
Right. It's funny because he internalized that about BYU too, yeah. right? Where it's just right. like, I can't call them BYU. It's no. team down south, team yeah. down south, team down south. He can't refer to Michigan as Michigan. He's just like, yeah, that's an interesting scenario there where he is because – You lose to Penn State. You lose to Ohio State
again.
Then the conversation has to happen. Now, luckily, I've never been in that situation of you know losing all those bad games. I don't know what it's like to lose against Michigan. I'm Urban Meyer, and look, I know what you're saying that coaches it doesn't always translate. But Pete Carroll, this is his second go in the coaching world in the NFL. And boy, it was a bad first go, right? It was a college guy who tries to give it a shot in the pros.
Pete Carroll was.
Well, he was a pro. He was in the pro system.
He was with the Jets.
The place that he. The
and a really. He was a well thought of defensive coordinator
right.
in the NFL for a long time.
But when he took his shot as a head coach, it just was not there, right? And it was not his time.
Right.
And you've always talked about this, too. It's like, it's about the scenario you're in.
Yep.
So if Bill Belichick isn't coaching, the New England Patriots, instead maybe is dealt the hand of being the Jacksonville Jaguars head coach, does it end up the same?
Or he goes to
the
Buffalo Bills, or he goes somewhere
else. Drew Bledsoe does not get hurt.
Yeah.
Then what? And so all these scenarios could come up. Is Bill Belichick the mad genius that we think he is? Why wouldn't it be able to work with Urban Meyer? This is a guy who... Now, from a player's
perspective.
It might
work. I just don't see Dallas as the
– Oh, so, but see
– I just don't see Dallas as the team to do it.
Dallas, Jerry Jones, takes the dumbest shots on coaches, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Think of Barry Switzer. And everyone's like, he won a Super Bowl. It's like, Barry Switzer lucked into a Super Bowl. Barry Switzer lucked into high-caliber football.
Can I just tell you, Jerry
coaching.
Jones does not know what he's doing. I'm sorry. I mean, they lucked into Super Bowls because they traded away Herschel Walker. Yeah. And they got all those players. I mean, they got Troy Aikman, and they got two or three defensive linemen, and Emmitt Smith. And I mean, they got Hall of Famers out of a trade for Herschel Walker, who really wasn't that great a pro. I mean, he was a great college player, but it would be an absolute train wreck to have Urban Meyer, and it would be a media frenzy if he was there.
If you're Urban Meyer and USC comes knocking or the Dallas Cowboys.
I think that's what this is about.
What do you mean that's what this
I
is
think,
about?
I think Urban's kind of putting it out there to say.
I could take any job, including the best one in all of football.
I really want to go to USC, but I want USC to know that I might go to the Cowboys.
Right.
So it's all just kind of.
Right.
But one thing's really clear. Urban Meyer's going to get back into coaching.
Ooh.
That's what's really clear.
I don't know. I just don't know. All right. We're taking the break here. Come back. Talk a little bit about the depressing side of Utah's current scenario being in the best defense, having the best defense they've had in a long time. A healthy Tyler Huntley and a healthy Zach Moss means you have the best shot to win the Pac-12. Kind of. We'll talk about some really depressing news, Utah fans. Scott's going to roll it out for you. There might be a glimmer of hope. Stay with us right here. It's KSL's Unrivaled. All right. Settle down, Patriots fans. Yes.
Settle down.
Aaron Donald might as well be playing quarterback for the Jets because
those two names, they confuse me.
Yeah, Sam Darnold.
So it's Aaron Donald
and Sam Darnold
and Sam Darnold, yes. Donald and Darnold,
Donald Darnold, and Sam and Aaron,
Sam and Aaron, Sam and Aaron, Sam and Aaron Poison.
Yeah, yeah. Sam Darnold has thrown four interceptions tonight. Also, took a snap over his head that ended up being a safety. So the Patriots,
and it's
getting,
not really his fault, but it feels like it's his fault.
It all feels like it's his
fault. Oh, so you had a safety and you had four interceptions?
How
and,
dare you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So 26-0. And the Jets were about to score for the first time tonight.
You know what I want to pick in the end. Right, you know what I want to see Adam Gase's eyes on the sideline. That's just what I want to see.
Yes.
I just want to
showing it.
Are they bug-eyed?
Of course they are.
Did they even show him at all? I haven't seen him on the sideline yet.
It's like a parental thing when you have a show like this. I mean, could be watching.
Can
you
I give you
show
some advice about watching NFL games?
Yes.
Watch the sideline.
And what am I looking for?
You'll know.
What does that mean?
It'll be really obvious to you. It's like
because I do
it's
watch
like
some of the sidelines.
It's like Belichick pulling the team together, the defensive
team. Yeah, yeah. You told me. Yeah, showed us.
There's a whole lot more drama going on. And you're a guy that likes drama. So go to the sideline. Watch the sideline. That's really where the action is in the NFL.
So Scott goes, and this is an indicator kind of where their team is, right? When they got their third pick of the night, they're up 24-0, and Bill Belichick calls over his whole defense. And by the way, this is what's funny about the media thing. When he does interviews with the media, and he's like, "Well, we're just playing football. It's really love playing football." I think I have that drop, I think, don't I? This is the moment where he just starts talking about, here's what it is. This is how excited Bill Belichick gets with the media about football.
Yeah, I like football. I like football season and all the things that go with it.
Yeah. And then he goes, and then you see him on the sideline, and what do you see? This guy who's fired up,
doesn't
his hair's
look like
weird.
He likes football and he likes everything about it.
Right. It looks like he's going after these guys. By the way, they've had four interceptions, a strip sack, and a fumble.
Wait. Sam Darnold's eyes look like Adam.
Yeah,
Hayes's
no,
eyes.
His are more. Yeah, he's struggling. 26-0, third quarter. By the way, everybody wants this game to be over.
Because I wish I still had meningitis.
No, it wasn't meningitis. It was mono.
Oh yeah,
it was
whatever.
Mono. The kissing disease. Come on, man, figure it out.
Whatever.
Okay, so Sam Darnold, four picks tonight, a strip sack, and so they've had six takeaways tonight, the Patriots defense. That's why they're so dang good. In the meantime, Scott, let's get over to a little bit of a thought of things that are depressing about this Utah current scenario. Now, this is as good of a Utah team that I've seen in person ever, okay? Now, granted, I got to see, you know, some of the – I guess I got to see the 08 team maybe once or twice, but not when they were winning the – I didn't go to the Sugar Bowl, you know. This team looks so good, and when Tyler Huntley is 100% healthy and when Zach Moss is healthy, that defense is unbelievable, and it was on Saturday. But we talked about how depressing the scenario is, that loss to USC, and this is where your genius comes into play. You said there's a game you should lose, and if you're going to do it, have it be the BYU game.
Right.
Because then you're fired up the rest of the year. Then people discount you a little bit. Then people start to wonder about, are you really the Pac-12 favorite? Because still, in this scenario that we've run out, Utah is 6-1 now on the season. They are on a streak that is, I mean, just the amount, they have embarrassed the teams they've played, okay? And that being the case, everybody talks about Oregon and not Utah right. at all. And it's all about Justin Herbert. It's all about Oregon. They beat Washington up at Washington. Oh, it's just beautiful. They are 6-1. Now they're undefeated in the Pac-12 North in the North Division.
And they lost their first game of the year.
and they lost their first game of the year.
Utah would be in the same spot right now. They'd probably still be ranked 12th in the country.
I bet they'd be it. I bet they'd be 10th.
It's possible.
Because they were ahead of Oregon in the original rankings.
It's possible. But they're going to be close to where they are
so
right
now. So now they have this USC
and
loss.
And they don't have the loss. The reason that USC is such a bad loss, since the Pac-12 went to the Pac-12, the Pac-12 championship has gone through USC every single year.
Yeah.
So you can't lose. And basically, if you lose to USC, you're not going to win the South. Utah, what I'm concerned about is every game's winnable, except Washington will be a tough game. And I know Washington's down, but it's still Washington. It's still hard.
It's Chris Peterson. That's the real problem.
Right. And I'm just telling you, you could almost guarantee a win against Cal, USC. You have both of them at home. You have three of your last five games at home. And your one road game is Arizona. I mean, if you have Cal, Arizona, UCLA, Colorado, mm-hmm. who do you want? I mean, you know, maybe UCLA on the road would be the easiest. I mean, Arizona is not going to be a hard road game. It's just not. And USC only has the hopes of Oregon, Arizona State, and they're at Colorado. I mean, those are the only potential games that they could lose in conference. So, yeah, Utah could go – I'm just telling you, Utah could go 11-1, and still not go to the Pac-12 championship game.
Yeah,
because as long as USC wins out, they win.
And then you brought up something with the scenario of they're 4-3 right now. So USC's 4-3, but they're also in the same spot. But they're ahead of Utah in the South because they have one loss in the Pac-12, and they have of those losses in the Pac-12. Of the wins that they have in the Pac-12, one of them is over Utah. So they have that tie break, and it's going to be there, and it's going to haunt you the rest of the way unless USC fumbles somewhere along the way. They blew up Arizona this weekend, and Slovis throws for, 240 yards.
And he's a good quarterback.
And they win 41-14, and it's just this thing where you go, USC, you show up in the weirdest times, and you just kind of – mess around with people. I mean, they lost to BYU, obviously, and then Notre Dame. And Notre Dame is not that great. BYU is BYU right now. They're a 3-4 team. And I think that people look at this, and then they look at that loss that Utah took at USC, and it was just the very last thing you can do. Because I bet Utah wins out. And the buffer area
and
that
if
you
USC
had,
doesn't. I mean, you're 11-1. You don't win the Pac-12 South. You're a Power 5 team. You go 11-1, and you're going to the Donut Bowl.
Donut Bowl be nice.
Here's the crazy scenario for you.
It's the Cheez-It Bowl. Yeah, what?
Crazy scenario. Let's say Utah does that. Let's say USC wins out.
Okay.
The problem with that is if USC wins out, then Oregon would have two losses. So let's do a scenario where Utah loses to Washington.
Okay.
So they're 10-2. Let's say that USC loses to Oregon. So they have two losses.
They have two losses.
So they go by the tiebreaker.
And Utah loses that.
And so USC goes and they lose to Oregon.
By the way, at that point, they'd be a four-loss team in the season.
In the season.
So they'd be an 8-4 team.
8-14.
Going to the Pac-12 championship.
Going to the Pac-12 championship. Oregon beats them.
They're 8-5.
Oregon has one loss and goes to the college playoffs.
College football playoff.
Now USC has five losses. Utah has two.
Okay.
And they're probably the best team to represent the Pac-12 in the Rose Bowl. Because the Rose Bowl can pick whomever they want from the Pac-12.
Do they take Utah at
11-2?
If
the champion goes to the playoffs.
But that's what I'm saying. So if Oregon goes to the playoff and so isn't in the Rose Bowl because of that, and between USC and Utah.
Who has five losses
and eight
Utah
and five,
has two.
Right.
And they would have the second
but
best
a third
record.
Place,
they'd have the second best record in the Pac-12.
Right. But technically a third place team.
Technically a third place team.
Right.
What does the Rose Bowl do? Because the Rose Bowl's in Southern California. Mm. It's USC. And they can pick whoever they want.
Yeah, no, I'd go neutral, just go full on, take Oregon State.
or Mike Leach in Washington
State. Take Washington State, because you know me. No,
would that be a terrible scenario?
Could you imagine,
too? How would you feel?
You know what happened?
How would you feel going to the Rose Bowl?
Well, you know what happened? USC'd get that nod.
They would. And
USC would get that nod. I mean, it probably not, but there's that party you would go, oh, the hot girl's going to take the cool kid to the dance, man. We're taking the break. We come back, we'll give some depressing news about BYU, too. Yeah, you got the win over Boise State. What's your quarterback situation really, though? I'm sticking with this kid, Baylor Romney, man. Stay with us. More to go. News traveling with us right now on KSL News Radio.
KSL's unrivaled. The teams you live for. The sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome on in. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. It is a Monday, and we are so glad to be unpacking the weekend of sports right here with you on KSL News Radio. You can always listen to the program if you miss any part of it on any of the platforms you listen to podcasts on. Apple Podcasts, you can go onto the App Store.
Google Play.
You can also download KSL Sports, the app. You can also download KSL News Radio, the app. Listen, what I'm saying is, Scott, there's no excuse for you not to listen to the program, all right?
People, it's where things are going. You need to listen to podcasts. They're very important.
Now, listen, we had quite a weekend, and it was one of those things where every week, Scott, you and I basically hit the huddle, and we go, break, and you go to Utah, and I go down to BYU, and we kind of but I find myself – I watched the entirety of the Utah game. And you watched all of the BYU game, listened to some of it on the way back home, and then watched the rest of it. And I want to get your impressions. I want to talk a little bit more about BYU because we talked about Utah a little bit and what the scenario is for them. It's just a ridiculous scenario to think about Utah having one of its greatest seasons ever, right? Sometimes it works out to where you can back into the Pac-12 championship game like it did last year. And sometimes it's you have this amazing season and things might work out to where you don't make it to the Pac-12 championship game. In BYU's case, there's a certain amount of depression for BYU fans who go, oh, that would be fun to have a conversation about winning a conference championship or going to the Rose Bowl or whatever.
It is the most depressing thing. It is.
I know.
I'm just telling you. It's awful.
Look, we walked out of the stadium. The number one thing that people were talking about I was walking across the field. First of all, I will also tell you another depressing thing. The fans rushed the field. It did not feel like a rushing the field situation to me.
They probably were just really cold.
they just didn't want
to exit the stadium. And they were like, look, let's get some blood flowing and let's run onto the field because they don't like us to run on the field. And we've got to take running on the field whenever we can get it.
Yeah,
and quite frankly,
so.
That is one of the most depressing things about this, that they did run on the field. Look, I know it's Boise State. I get it.
Hey, number 14 team in the country.
And they've developed an identity and they've developed
a culture.
It's a good program. You beat them, it's a quality win.
BYU fans, too, they know – this is a huge deal when you beat Boise State because it doesn't have. It's kind of a two for one thing, and before that it was even more lopsided. But Boise State is so hard to beat.
What's your depressing thing?
My depressing thing about BYU is that everybody who walked out of that stadium was like, "Ooh, they might get bowl eligible now." And I thought, man, that's really sad that that's the thing that they're looking forward to is that this is just getting to this plateau of six wins and wondering if you're going to be able to keep.
What else is there though? Really, I'm not meaning this in a mean way. I mean, what is there?
It's not depressing. Look,
you go 6-6.
Yeah.
You're bowl eligible.
Okay.
And let's say you go 8-4, which is still a possibility because they can't go better than 8-4 because they've lost four games.
It's the same.
So it's the same season.
That's why it's depressing because
exactly.
It is the same. And so that's if we're talking about, because the last segment we were talking about the most depressing thing that Utah is kind of facing right now, which is. You are really good and it might not matter. You're really, really good and it might not matter because now you got to wait on USC to lose a game in the Pac-12 for you to be able to make your move.
You can't hiccup the rest of the year.
Right. I mean, you can't hiccup and you're waiting for another team to hiccup, which is an awful feeling.
Which is terrible.
I will say this, though. I want to say something about the quarterback battle at BYU. Baylor Romney and Jaren Hall. Because this is going to be, look, now that we have a couple of weeks to discuss this, we have all this week and all of next week leading up to Utah State and BYU to talk about this. But the question will be about Jaren Hall coming back from the concussion protocol, because I'm sure even if the game
should
was next week,
by then.
He would be back by then. The question is that your quarterback? And to me, the answer is the quarterback off has happened. The tryout has happened. Jaren Hall lost the tryout to Baylor Romney between those last 2 weeks. And if you are
so
a coach,
is that depressing?
No. I've moved on to now that you can't do anything about your season except for just try to go 6-6. I just want to bring up the part about it's a good thing to have, because no one on earth would have thought your third string quarterback, unless you're playing at USC,
your third string quarterback would be what? Okay, you want to know what's depressing about
what?
That?
What?
Third string quarterback might be the best one.
Oh, okay. I don't know about going that far and saying the best one.
I do think that
before we get to the Zach Wilson discussion, because that's
who's
another
Zach
question.
Wilson? Did he play BYU? I can't even remember him. I thought that was Mark Wilson.
He's Zach Wilson watches Baylor Romney play that game on Saturday. He starts filling out papers for the transfer portal. No, but
someone's probably going to.
But that's the thing that happens in college football in 2019, right?
Yeah.
So someone goes and look. We had the same discussion about where guys are going to be next year, even for Utah. If it's worth it for Drew List to stay around just to be a nice backup option.
If you're Baylor Romney and you play well and you go, why wouldn't you look at an opportunity?
And you're relegated to being a third string guy because.
But then if you're a BYU fan, you don't care, right?
Right.
You don't care if it's Jaren Hall.
No.
You don't care if it's Baylor Romney.
No, I don't care.
You just care whoever's in there that can help you win.
Right, and to me, the tryout happened.
Yeah,
The Boise State game, to win that one, and it's not all things being created equal. In fact, I think Baylor Romney looked the part, because it looked like
he didn't look like a kid that was starting his first game.
Right, and he didn't look like
– And Boise State's not chump change either.
Right, and I'll say, too, maybe it was some of the play calling, too. Jaren Hall was a massive disservice to him to call so many quarterback draws against South Florida.
Sure.
I mean, if you're going to show this guy that he's a quarterback, then stop just making him run on these things. And he was picking up plays, but guess what? I think that we saw – when I say Baylor Romney looked the part, he looked all sorts of confident, and you're thinking to yourself, this guy's going to be all out of sorts. The last time we saw a third-string quarterback come in, it was Joe Critchlow a few years ago, and he looked like a third-string quarterback, maybe even a fourth-string quarterback. So in my mind, the competition needs to be over. And you need to – so now Jaren Hall needs to steal that spot back from Baylor Romney by virtue of Baylor Romney not playing well enough or him getting hurt, and that's how it works. And it's not a rip on – I'm not ripping on Jaren Hall.
Yeah, you are.
I know he's a good athlete,
no,
but he's not better than Baylor Romney
right
now.
You're ripping on him.
I'm not making it personal, man.
Well, I don't care about the quarterback situation. I think that's clear-cut, obvious. It's a challenge, though, because
then you have to be politically correct,
who
right?
Who do you give the reps to in practice? You've
right,
got 2 weeks
that's what
to get
I'm saying.
Ready, and you got this young guy, and if Baylor Romney's going to kind of be the guy, you got to really get him ready to play. This isn't the most depressing thing to me. The quarterback situation is not depressing. Here's what really scares me, because it feels like that kind of year. I feel like it was me in high school watching BYU football. And when I was in high school, my grades were good. They should have been a whole lot better. But what I did good in, I did really good in AP chemistry. And I did really good in AP history. But I did really poorly in like home economics or...
Probably English, too, because you said really good.
Right, exactly. Case in point. Hey, I'll tell you, I went to college. I had to take English 50. You think I'm joking.
No,
I'm not.
Listen, that was me on the math side of things.
They go, you're not
take math
good here.
Hey, you know when there's a zero in front of your class number? It's not good. Class yes, math 090.
This doesn't count for anything. You have to take this because you're so bad. So my point is BYU, for whatever reason, they seem to get up for these good teams, and they really –
Yeah, that should be –
There's no motivation, and guess what? They have 3 games left, and maybe even San Diego State, you could argue, 4 games left where they're not highly motivated. I'm not sure that BYU is motivated by becoming bowl eligible.
Well, or what and about keeping the job for their head coach? Is that enough of a motivation?
I don't know that any player really does that
or cares that much.
I really,
I mean, they love their coach, but they're not thinking
right.
about it.
I don't know. Yeah. So what really scares me and could be a reality that this Idaho State game, you know, because let's say they.
What are you saying? Don't say that. I don't say it's gonna.
I'm not saying. Okay, Just like, don't say that South Florida is going to beat BYU, because I would have never.
I don't think we would have thought.
Idaho State has a better chance of beating BYU than South Florida.
Wow. Come on.
My whole point is this team is like Jekyll and Hyde, and they 1 week they play good, and the next week they don't.
Schizophrenic, for sure.
To me, that's the thing that's the most depressing about where BYU football is. Right,
and look, if you're going to look at that win, which is awesome for Kalani and the program and everything, because I was standing right next to where President Wortham was on the sideline. The school is jacked up about that win. They were so excited for that win. But to
they
get
were
up
jacked
for that
up
game,
against USC.
I know, but to get up for that game and the USC game and all these other games, and then to just lay an egg at Toledo. Everybody saw how poorly Toledo's done in the last few weeks. Everybody saw that South Florida got housed this week, too. I mean, my goodness.
So aren't you nervous about Liberty and Idaho State?
I don't want to think about 2017, because those were games where, like, UMass.
East Carolina.
Taking the break. Coming back. Wrapping things up next. Scott's going to do his beatboxing skills. Stay with us on KSL's Unrivaled. All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. It's the final segment of the day. Man, coming back on these Mondays, it's always fun to jam about what happened over the weekend. Scott and I share a lot of stories from what we saw at the particular games that we were at, Utah and BYU, respectively. If you miss any of the show, you can get our breakdowns of those two games and some of the NFL stuff we saw this weekend. And, man, just a lot of stuff to go over. These Monday shows go too fast, and we don't have enough time to talk about all the things we want to. So stay tuned the rest of the week by way of announcement. By the way, tomorrow we're going to have a Utah Jazz special that we're going to be playing. Tomorrow night. I mean,
tomorrow?
Yeah, it's tomorrow because it's the day before Jazz tip-off, man.
Oh.
Yeah, so we're doing
tip-off on Wednesday.
Yeah, Mark Eaton's going to join us on the program tomorrow.
So it's a real show.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Oh, no, I mean a real game. Like, it's no
real
preseason.
Real game, no preseason.
So we might get a little defense. And yeah. Boyan might go like 1-for-9 instead of 0-for.
Come on. These guys are going to wake up.
I'll bet he just goes off.
I guarantee it, man.
He's going to go off.
Jazz fans are excited. It's going to happen. I think we're going to see this team start gelling. So sick of hearing that during the offseason.
Oh, yeah, we're just trying to find some time to gel.
Come on. Donovan Mitchell's like, I'm trying to get my new shoe to gel. I'm trying to get this team to gel together. I don't care about it. Just play some good basketball.
So, you know, Dan Marino used to give away isotoner gloves?
Just like to anybody you saw?
Well, you know, he had this.
Yeah, he was a spokesperson.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I almost knew him more for that than I did for the football.
Right. I wonder if Donovan's going to give away, like, Stance socks.
Oh, yeah. No. Just for sure. Just walk around. Did he give away isotoners to his teammates, too?
Yes.
No.
I got isotoners.
Wow.
Completely. And it's like, we live in South Florida.
Well, and you didn't pay for these? Like,
and it's like,
it's but, like all the offensive things you could do.
Well, I wasn't offended by that. I thought, hey, this is pretty cool, you know, that you got them. But I just was like, I will never use them in South Florida.
Yeah, but at least you hailed from a place that you would use the isotoner gloves at.
Yeah, but I'm not going to go back there anytime soon, and certainly I'm not going to go back there in the middle of the winter.
I just want to say something. Isotoners to me screams like 1980s, early 90s, but like a woman's glove, right?
Yes.
And to me,
I was thinking of people of more over 55.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Seniors. Like. Yes, yeah, because yes. Now they're kind of a fashion leathery. They're kind of a fashion glove, very soft, fine. But did they make them that were big enough for your hands? You've got giant friggin' hands.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Are they still in business?
Take care of the hands that take care of you. I don't know if they are or not.
I've got to figure that out. Scott's at time of the night. We've got to get to our final segment. It's our two-minute drill. Tell people what's going on with two-minute drill.
Well, there's not a lot of time. You got to score quickly. Go down, kick a field goal, score a touchdown to win the game, and you just don't have a lot of time to do it. So on our show, don't have a lot of time right now, but we got a lot we want to talk about.
That's right.
So we're going to cram a lot of things in a short period of time, so we talk a little bit about a lot of things, and don't screw it up.
So let's cram it. Here we go. I read this story today, and I was like, oh, my goodness, I got to bring this up with Scott Mitchell. A high school in St. Louis area high school, Cardinal Ritter College Prep. Okay, private school, but also very good football school. They were runners-up last year in their 3A division, but they would be their 3A division. They're undefeated so far this year. There was a their school has suspended football for the rest of the season. And their entire coaching staff has been fired after junior running back Bill Jackson was found to have played in their season opener, even though he was actually supposed to be serving a one-game suspension. So he was not supposed to be opening the season.
It was just one game?
And it was 6 weeks ago. And here's the thing. Instead of his number, his normal number four, he wore the number 24, and he went under the freshman name Marvin Burks. It was Jackson's tattoos that ended up giving him away to a local reporter who saw what was going on, went back and checked the film, and indeed...
Same player.
Same player, the junior...
I mean,
Now, listen, the head coach, Brandon Gregory, and his whole staff have been fired. And they went along with the lie. No, he didn't play. And the junior said, I didn't play. That was Marvin Burks, the amazing freshman. They talked to Marvin Burks. He's like, yeah, I played in that game. They're like, where's your tattoos? He's like, huh? So by the time it got all rolled out...
You know, that's how they find criminals, is through exactly tattoos. Right.
So Gregory told the Post-Dispatch that this freshman Burks had, quote-unquote, earned the start, and that it was his time to play ball. And the whole time...
okay.
I love his, like, pregame. Oh, yeah, he's ready, man.
But it's one game. So, I mean, if it's the entire season, maybe I'd consider it. I don't know.
Now, hold on. What do you mean you could consider it?
Oh,
you would
kidding.
Cheat like this?
No, not like that.
These are the same coaches, Scott, that would put the guys in after they had
completely.
Concussions.
Are
you okay with them firing the entire staff?
Absolutely.
And they have...
Here's the sad thing. This is going to happen here in Utah. The Lone Peak High School actually had a player who was ineligible.
Right.
And
they forfeited all their games.
Everyone makes the playoffs. Lone Peak's probably the best team in 6A, maybe Corner Canyon.
Yeah.
They're going to play for the state championship and probably win it with four wins.
It's like a 4-9. For like a 4-9. Yeah. Watch them go to the state championship game, lose it, and they're like the state runner-up at 3-10.
And something about that feels really, really bad.
Of course
it does.
It's
like, don't let them be in the playoffs.
Right.
It's like why you have these rules.
If a team has to forfeit all those nine games, right? Come on. Like, let's...
They shouldn't even be playoff eligible.
Right, let's figure out how to not get him in. Now, the argument has been made, and Hunter, our intern, even said, yeah, but it's not fair to those kids who have to forfeit the rest of the season now because they suspended their whole football program and they fired the coaches. Well, the reason that they suspended the football program is they had to fire all the coaches. And the reason you fire all the coaches, and it isn't fair. And listen, it's not fair. It's not fair that adults are the worst part of this scenario because what they did was is they said, hey, let's figure out a way for you to not play in this game. Even though he was suspended for the first one.
So those players, and that's a good point, but those players that didn't get actually, you know, didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, they played right along with it.
Right. They knew what was happening.
Who was wrong.
Why didn't they come forward and say, look, this is not right?
Right, and if they did, they would have been playing the rest of the season.
And what really is great here is that there was a tremendous lesson learned. And that I like that someone stood up and just said, you know, we're not going to cheat. We don't need to cheat. And there's no tolerance and there's no room for it. And so, yeah, it's kind of a painful lesson for these players to learn, but they learned the lesson.
Lane Kiffin, speaking of learning lessons, learned a $5,000 lesson for a tweet that he sent out that depicted referees with that were non-sided, blind refs with the sticks and dogs walking them around the field. It was all he said. All he did was he added Conference USA on the tweet and then just put this picture of these blind refs.
The problem with this is if you let a coach get away with stuff like this, then it becomes normal and everyone piles on and they're going to pile on as it is. Everyone wants to do it. I mean, if you're a coach, I mean, it's so frustrating because the impact of your season, your career. I mean, I've said this so many times before. So you want to do it, but there's just no way that the conference, anyone can allow this to happen only because it will create like a frenzy
Well, the
atmosphere towards officials.
The conference did recognize
way unhealthy.
The conference did recognize there was some inconsistencies, as they put it, in some of the refereeing. But that happens, I think, in every game. There's some ups and downs. There's a missed call here and there. But you're right. You can't put this out there because then everybody starts to look at it and go, oh, we can all do this. Because he basically tweeted out something that, like, my buddies would tweet out.
If I'm a coach, I can feel good about this is if the league is really trying to get it right. They're not always going to get it right, but if they're trying and they're working towards the best possible solution.
We're going to end it right there. For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. Hunter the intern, Jeremy producing, Amber hitting all the buttons. We'll be back again tomorrow night. Thanks for being with us. KSL's Unrivaled will return tomorrow.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.